as Tom Gazzola joins us now. And Tommy, I can only imagine people fired up last night after a first game of the playoffs. You know, game Oilers fans were hoping their team would win, and you know, they were in the game, but you know, they only four teams out of 14 games have lost after scoring the first goal, and the Oilers are one of them. So, you know, there was good things about last night's game, but also I think valid reason to be frustrated.
Gregor, last night's post game was awesome. Like, people were pissed off. People were giving it to Hernan and I. They had all these crazy ideas. You think a few libations were definitely flowing, and some of the thoughts from those libations seeped in, and they texted in. We had a bunch of calls. I love those shows, and I hope that we get more of that, and I think it's going to be, you know, a fun run, and I really do think this is going to be a long series. But you're right. Like, they didn't play great offensively. We saw that with just the one goal. They were, yeah, okay, through the neutral zone. Defensively, I thought they were sharp. They controlled the puck, especially in the middle part of the game, quite well. And it came down to a couple breaks. I didn't like the first goal Mike Smith let in. That was a bad rebound. And there you go. The Jets played tight. They focused in on McDavid and Draisaitl. They kept them in check. And Connor Halley had a great tweet with all the games that those two were held scoreless or pointless this year. They bounced back strong. McDavid over 2 points a game the next game. I think Draisaitl had 16 points following the 13 games where he was kept off the score sheet too. So, all right, the first game's out of the way. The Oilers now have a true sense and a feel for what the Jets are going to throw at them. And now they adapt, and let's see if they put that plan into action tomorrow night and break through.
Were you surprised at the lack of emotion as compared to other series?
Stretty. I mean, we saw a couple of little blow-ups, especially at the end of the first period there. We saw some physical play. I know both coaches joked about the amount of hits that were officially scored on the game sheet. I don't buy that there was 68 and 50 hits, but I thought it was okay. Like, I thought it was more of a tentative feeling out process. I think it'll get nasty. I think, you know, we saw the Jets tweet out Neil Pionk is in Connor McDavid's kitchen, or he's living rent-free in his head. I know that's a term you like to throw out to people, too. I think it'll get nastier as it progresses. Absolutely.
Now, you know, because I look at it like last year with Chicago, we saw a pretty low passion affair. And I'm not talking about scrumming. I'm just talking about the intensity, the passion to get to the net, to make things hard for the other team. And then to see it again, the first game this year, to me, I was a little bit surprised. And I said yesterday, I was a little bit apprehensive about what it could bring. So that's something I'm definitely keeping an eye on. The other thing is, I don't think it's a good thing for the Oilers to have Hellebuck become a story, or the main story for the Jets in this series. And did he play have a good game yesterday? Or did the Oilers make it easy for him, in your opinion?
That's an interesting one. I thought he played well. I really did think. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Birthday boy, feeling good, trying to prove everyone wrong that the last few weeks of the regular season were just an anomaly, and they rose to the occasion. I'm going to give credit where credit is due and say the Jets played well. And it's not like the Oilers didn't give themselves a chance to win. They were in that game. They had a lead. And so I don't feel it's like last year either in the bubble. I know that was a theme that popped up a lot on the post-game show. It seemed like the Oilers were more focused. They stuck to their game plan. Yeah, a lot of people pointed out they got kept to the perimeter even when they had possession. But at least they had the puck. Now, you know, again, what you got to do to get to the front of the net, get to the scoring areas, make those tweaks, and score ugly goals. They're not going to be pretty. I thought the opportunities were there. Just dial it up a little bit. It's going to be okay. I really don't find that it's the same as last year in the qualifying round. I think it's different. I thought they had more poise and a little bit more precision. Attention to detail as well, Strutty.
Yeah, I know that's the thing. They're joined by Tom Guzzola. I actually thought they played a pretty decent game. Like, when I think of a Dave Tippett team, he wants them to be good defensively. I thought that, you know, I say they could check that box. Especially teams weren't really, you know, quite frankly, an issue, one power play for the Oilers. But it's now the other end, you know, getting out of their zone and looking dangerous on that attack. And I think it's going to be, quite frankly, hard to do it in transition. So can this team, not pivot, but can they find a way, like they did their first goal, to score off of a, you know, in the end zone, through a cycling or whatever, just O-zone pressure, rather than having to be a quick strike off the rush team?
Right. I mean, if Winnipeg's going to take away the rush and the transition game from the Oilers, then cycle. The Oilers got pucks deep. The Oilers worked pucks down low. But how many times were they able to get pucks up high and funnel pucks to the net, create chaos and high traffic and confusion for Connor Hellebuyck and the defense? It's like, you look at the Jets' D, they're not overly big outside of Logan Stanley, who's an absolute massive individual. I think he's, what, 6'7", 6'8"? He's huge, obviously, but he's not fleet of foot. You look at the other defensemen, they're not the biggest guys. The Oilers have some big forwards who are capable of getting to those greasy areas, scoring greasy goals. Gregor's been talking about James Neal for the last couple of weeks, and rightly so. He's a guy that can do that. Chiasson scores those goals where he gets in there. I know it's going to be tough for a guy like Kyler Yamamoto, but he finds a way to scoot in there. So maybe it's, I don't know if I'm oversimplifying it, Struds, and you've got a great eye for this. You've been in those scenarios before, but I think if they get pucks to the defensemen and those guys find a way to get it through with a little shimmy and a shake and then get it through and then create chaos, then you can score those greasy, ugly goals.
Yeah, you don't need tons of ugly goals, right? You need the odd one here or there. Like,
sure.
You know, they just, hey, like, yes, a Puljujarvi's goal, you think about it, like, it was just pretty simple. I kind of call them simple. Every now and then you'll get some lucky goals, right? Like, you look at the winning goal last night. I wouldn't call it an ugly goal. It was just a guy going to the net, puts a stick out, deflects off the post, bar down. Right? He could probably deflect that 20 other times. It might not go exactly where it was. Cause when you deflect it, like, obviously sometimes if it's mid height, you'll take your blade and you'll try to tap it down. That one you're expecting it to go down. But where he deflected it, you weren't like, okay, I'm going to go bar down with this one. Right? Like, that's not really how it went. But, you know, I think the orders, and you saw it at practice today. What were they working on? Line rushes. What were they doing, Tom? Funneling pucks to the net. Cause all three goals last night all came from just putting the puck on net. Right? It wasn't like you had great tic-tac-toe passing. Those goals will happen, but, you know, it was great tic-tac-toe passing last night.
Yeah. And I thought the interesting thing, too, is they were pretty efficient with their practice today. Didn't spend a ton of ice or time on the ice. They got out there a little bit earlier. I suppose that is part of the postseason and the itinerary in the postseason. You're not out there really hammering home the details of the game and really hammering home systems work. That's all done in the regular season. And then it looked like they're having a little bit of fun at the end of practice too and keeping things light. So that tells you that maybe collectively overall they're not too rattled with the results of game one. And unlike, you know, again, going back to last year in the bubble, it's a 7-game series, not a 5-game series, and they feel good about what they did at certain points last night. So, again, execution, little adjustments like that, and especially with what they were saying today, it seems like with their demeanor, they're in a good space mentally to go into tomorrow and change things up and maybe get the better result.
Oh, I don't think the Oilers should be down on themselves. If they're down on themselves, the series over. They better be feeling fine, just small tweaks, and away we go. I look forward to game two. They'll have to play with more desperation, no question about it, because losing both games at home in a 7-game series, the Oilers have only ever done it once. They didn't win, so it's not ideal to do. Tommy, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.